Hello, this podcast is about Python for mobile devices. As you know, Python is one of the most portable programming languages that there is, and one of the good things about it is that it is portable and has been ported to a lot of portable devices. I also read an interview with our benevolent dictator for life, Guido von Rossum, a few years ago, where someone asked him what hopes he had for Python in the future, and one of the main things he pointed out was that he hoped it might become one of the leading languages used in programming mobile devices. And that always is something I remembered. So I had a Sharp Zorus. I have a Sharp Zorus that I've had for a few years now, and Python is available for that, and I've played around with it a lot. And that got me to thinking, so I started a web page, which you can find on my website at awaretech.com/pymo, P-Y-M-O, .html, awaretech.com, pymo, .html, where I have begun to list a lot of the things that I can find, Python programs and Python programming tools for programmable devices. Now, since I'm into podcasting, I decided that I ought to chronicle that, and I just added today to the top of that page, Python for Mobile Devices webpage, the links to two pod-catching tools or aggregator tools for managing your podcast that you're listening to. It turns out both of these tools are written in Python and are I believe they're both open source projects. It does appear that in the world of podcasting, Python is rapidly becoming the language of choice for a lot of the open source development work that's going on for the various devices used in listening to podcasts and creating podcasts also. In particular, one of these that's been around for a while is the iPodder. There's several in the family of iPodder aggregators or podcatchers, which is the leading podcatcher, at least until the recent release of iTunes 4.9. iPodder has always been the leader in the podcatching field. I believe it, supposedly it was its creation a little bit clouded in controversy between Dave Weiner and Adam Curry. But I believe that, as I understand it, Adam Curry claims to have written the original version himself in AppleScript. But I think the current versions are written in Python, and it is a very valuable tool which I use and most people have used in pod catching and aggregating. And again, it is written in Python, so that's something to keep in mind. The thing, though, that I just added today, that I just found today, is a relatively new program called Podcatcher on a Stick. Podcatcher on a Stick, definitely an open source project, linked to on the top of my page. And I haven't even tried it out yet, but I intend to do so right as soon as I can figure out how to use it. It is supposedly relatively easy to learn, except for one thing. It runs on virtually every portable MP3 player known to man, except the ubiquitous iPod, which happens to be my MP3 player. And the reason it doesn't run on the iPod, as I understand it, is what's unique about this, which makes me so interested in it, is that Podcatcher on a Stick, which is done by some German academicians, is it runs on the MP3 player, on the mobile device, not on your desktop or laptop computer. So all other aggregators that I've seen and used run on your computer, and you sync your iPod or your iRiver or whatever with them. But Podcatcher on a Stick runs on your MP3 player, and you can therefore sync it, but you can connect it to any computer in order to download whatever you're subscribed to on the pod software, on the podcatcher, on the iPod itself, well, on the MP3 player. The problem is it doesn't run on the iPod because it only runs on machines where you can set up your MP3 player to appear as an extra hard drive on your computer. And, of course, the iPod comes preloaded with Apple proprietary software, and that is the issue. However, I'm well aware that it's quite easy, actually, I've done it, to change the settings on the iPod so that it can be recognized as an extra hard drive on a Macintosh, and I presume on a Windows PC also, although I haven't done that. And therefore, I'm thinking that it might be possible for me to figure out how to run this podcatcher on a stick, or my potter, as it's called, to run it on an iPod, although that hasn't been done yet, and maybe it won't be easy at all. But at any rate, I think this idea of running your podcatching software on the device itself is very good. Probably what I'll need in order to do that is to find a way to run Python, some Python distribution, on the iPod, which may not be possible, but certainly I know how to get software onto the iPod. I don't even know what processor the iPod uses, so I've got my work cut out. At any rate, it is written in Python, it is open source, and it's something you might want to play around with, so I put that link right at the top of that Python for Mobile Devices page. And as I said, iPodder, the most popular podcatcher, is also a Python project. So Python is very prominent in this podcasting community that I'm a part of now, because I've been doing a podcast called Aware Tech for 3 months. And, of course, now I'm also doing this Python 411 podcast, which is Python information. I don't plan on probably updating this particular podcast series quite as often as my Aware Tech series. The Aware Tech series, I've been doing about 3 a week on average. This one, I'll be lucky to do 1 a week. But certainly, this is the fourth one in the series. And I'm hoping that it is of interest, especially to people who are learning the Python language or interested in learning the Python language, because I myself am a hobbyist. I'm not a professional programmer. I don't claim any expertise at all. I've been a hobbyist in Python for about 5 years now almost, and I'm just sharing some of the things I've learned. And I did an introduction to Python and then a computer programming for everybody, which is largely about Python, although it also touches on some uses for JavaScript. And it's really about programming the web to a certain extent. And then a program on choosing a GUI toolkit for Python. And although I'm not an expert in that, I've played around with a lot of them. And I probably have a good insight in how to choose a GUI toolkit from a hobbyist point of view. Not from a professional point of view by any means, but from a hobbyist point of view. Same way with mobile devices. I began a couple months ago to, maybe 3 or 4 months ago, to chronicle the various Python tools and programs for mobile devices on the web, and there are a lot, and I have an interest in that. So I hope to someday have more mobile devices. In fact, I'm looking to upgrade to a new cell phone someday soon, and so I may get a Nokia Series 60, which runs Python, or some other new... certainly I want to find a cell phone that runs Python, so that's something I'm interested in. But for now, this podcast will be about Python for mobile devices. So I'd like to move to, I'm sort of going to follow the outline of the web page. I think the web page is very, very useful if you're looking for software. If you have a particular mobile device, I've divided it into seven categories, and they are as such. Python for the Apple iPod, Python for the Nokia Series 60 cell phone, Python for the Palm platform, Python for Pocket PC, Python for the SharpSaurus, Python for the iRiver MP3 player, and then finally, sort of a different category, PyMedia, which is a module for manipulating, it really runs on PCs, but it's a module for manipulating WAV files, MP3, AUG, AVI, DivX, DVD, CDDA, et cetera files. So I'm going to go down that and say a little bit about what's available and on those that I've had experience with, what my experience is. Just give you some insight into what's available. I encourage you, in this case especially, to explore that web page and to find exactly a link to exactly anything I'm referring to in this podcast or to anything that might be of interest for your particular mobile device of interest. I'm going to be adding to this page often, I hope. And, in fact, if you have knowledge or you come across any Python software or Python tools for any mobile device that I don't have up yet, I'd love to hear from you. You can email me from my website or just at awaretech@gmail.com, and I'd love to hear from you so that I can add further links to this website. Okay, moving to the Apple iPod, there's quite a bit of Python software related to the Apple iPod that I have discovered, but most of it doesn't run, of course. I don't think any of it actually yet that I know of runs right on the iPod. Mostly it runs on a PC to do things for the iPod. Now, one exception to that, I might as well start with the exception, is the fact that the Apple iPod can run Linux. Now, this is of great interest because once you have Linux loaded on your iPod, then you can certainly load Python. And in fact, this is probably one way that I can use to run Podcatcher on a stick on my iPod, now that I think about it, because I can set up Linux on my iPod, then run Podcatcher on a stick under Linux, I would think. I definitely am going to try to do that, and I will report back to you on how it goes. In order to set up Linux on the iPod, what you first have to do, of course, is to set up the Apple iPod to run, to appear as a drive on your hard drive. Now, I've done this with my Macintosh, and it's quite easy. There are instructions on the web that are easy to find. In fact, as I recall, there are instructions even, I believe, maybe in the instructions that came with the iPod. If not, they're certainly in the book I got, which is one of the missing manual books on the Apple iPod, which I found extremely useful. Or maybe it was on iTunes, which I found extremely useful. In fact, yes, I know that that information was in there on how to... You just change some settings, and suddenly you are set up to... Your iPod will appear as a hard drive on your Macintosh or PC, and then you can merely reboot and hold down the right key while rebooting, and you will go into back into the Apple proprietary software so that you can use it to manage your MP3s. Or you can certainly manage your MP3s other than that, but you'll have to work out the software issues yourself, perhaps by setting up Linux. I haven't done that. I use the Apple proprietary software to play my podcasts and music on my iPod, but I have used the hard drive on the iPod to store backups to some of my files and to make those from my PC and to make those files mobile so that I can carry them with me on my iPod and then transfer them to other machines and other locations. So it's quite useful to do and quite easy. Now, having done that, the next step, I would think, would be for me to install Linux. And there is a link on my website on how to do that, which I'm going to be working on myself, and maybe that'll be a whole podcast onto itself in the near future to explain to you how that went, and then maybe I'll get Podcatcher on a stick running on that. So you can certainly load Linux on your iPod and do just about anything you want, I would think. The rest of the software, which is quite extensive for the iPod, that's Python-related, I believe most of these others, if not all, the programs that I've investigated, run on your computer. And the examples are, there's a database builder for the iPod. Now, here are some Python apps that I ran. These were done about two or three years ago for the iPod. They're really cool, simple little scripts to download automatically Major League Baseball scores and stats. So these are Python scripts that will automatically go out and download the daily scores and stats, and you can view these in various ways on your iPod. Now, I actually ran these programs, and they worked just fine. The only problem was they needed to be updated slightly because they point to, I think, two-year-old baseball data, which is still out there on the web. So you can, in some cases, so you can get the data, but it didn't take me long to figure out that it wasn't this year's data, even though I'm not much of a baseball fan, and I had to do a little work to point to the more recent data. So that's quite interesting, very simple little scripts that you can get, but it shows you what's possible. Now, those scripts do run on your PC, in my case on my Macintosh, not on the iPod. So I should make that clear. They run on the PC and automatically download the data to your iPod, and it appears this is using the Apple proprietary software on the iPod. It makes it appear in one of the PDA type applications, little applications that Apple has on there. So it's integrated quite well. Another one is an iPod plugin for Xtunes. I haven't tried that one out personally, but I have a link to it. And there is a PiPod program for managing iPod metadata on your music and podcast. There is a Python program for creating the ID3 tags for MP3 files. Now, this is of interest to me because I create MP3 files all the time for my podcast, and I have to manually enter the ID3 data, which is the metadata, if you will. I guess you could call it that, for the MP3 files, when you made it, who made it, what information is in that particular MP3. So there's a Python script to help you manage that, which, again, I haven't used yet, but I've checked, I know where it is, and I'm gonna try to use it in the future. And then lastly, there's a Python, another Python ID3 writer, which also is a reader. So again, I haven't tried all those things, but I'll get around to it. So you can see there's a lot to play with. The most important thing for me is going to be to load Linux on my iPod and play with that. I'll report back. Okay, next is the Nokia Series 60. Now, there is a plethora of information out there on the web. There's a guy named Matt Croydon who has a whole website, wiki, devoted to Python software for the Nokia Series 60. This is really cool stuff, and I don't own a Nokia 60, so I haven't been able to use it, but there's let me just go down through here. Some of these I've played with on the PC to see what the data would look like if I did have such a phone. Some I haven't. But, okay, Nokia has a developer site for developer tools, which has Python tools and documentation. Then the wiki that I mentioned by Matt Croydon is just a wealth of information and programs that he's written, scripts that he's written. Another fellow has put up scripts for handling photos and Bluetooth and SQL type Python code snippets for the Series 60 phone. Several informational sites on this. Another site specifically for Python and other programming tools for the Nokia phone for Mac OS X. A site specifically for Bluetooth console for OS X. And a tutorial from Mobile Tech Magazine, getting started with Python for the Nokia Series 60. And a screen scraping program using Beautiful Soap in Python for the phone. And a GUI version of the Python dictionary, Dict2Go, for your Nokia. A quote grab stock tracking program for the Nokia. A Nokia discussion forum on Python. And Python for the another site called Python for the Symbian. I can't read them all. There's so many. There's one called Miso, which is several libraries for this phone. And lastly, the one that I've played around with is the GPS phone with Python on your mobile phone. This is an incredibly cool application. And it's almost worth it for me to buy a phone. I'm in the middle of changing jobs, so I'll have to wait till I get settled in my new role. But I hope to get a Nokia phone. This Python module will allow you to use it as a GPS receiver and write Python scripts to manipulate how you use the GPS information in the maps. And the scripts that have already been written by hackers that are available are cool as heck. So it's really a platform of great interest for Python, obviously, the Nokia Series 60 phone. And hopefully this is the beginning of many other phones that will use Python in creative ways. Okay, next I have a section on the Palm platform. There's a wiki devoted to Python for the Palm. There's PyWrite, which is a comprehensive set of Python modules for programming in Python using the Palm, including APIs for transparent database access and plugins for extensibility. This was formerly known as Palm Python. Now it's known as PyWrite. There actually are a couple different versions, I believe, of Python for the Palm. One is called Pippi. Another is just Python for the Palm operating system. So a lot of good stuff for the Palm pilot. And presumably, the Python for the Palm pilot operating system will work, for instance, on any phones that use Palm. I believe I'm not sure about this, but I believe the Trio phone uses the Palm platform, which is I'm going to have to investigate that to see if I prefer that to the Nokia phone or any other Python-enabled phones out there. Okay, I'm not a Microsoft guy, but the Pocket PC, there are a lot of good Pocket PC devices. I used to own my employer supplied me with a Pocket PC-based phone/PDA. It was quite good. The phone on it worked just fine, and the PDA was very easy to use. And there are definitely a Python distribution available for this operating system and an SQL module for it. Another link to IDLE, the common practical Python command line-based IDE, IDLE for the IPAC. So, and of course the IPAC does run Windows CE or Pocket PC as they now call it, I believe. Okay, the Sharp Zorus, which I mentioned I own, I've played around with a lot. So I have a lot of good links on my website. In fact, this was where I began my Python for mobile device. In fact, when I really was first getting started with Python, this is where I wrote a lot of my scripts, specifically with the goal of running them on my Azores, and I indeed did. My scripts, I have links on my website to my programs. I think they're, I hope I've got that highlighted carefully. Yeah. My Python scripts for the Azores are very simple and may not be of any interest to you, but hey, I've got links to them in case. I did do quite a few scripts. Mostly, they are what I call decision analysis scripts, which fun little program to do weighted average. You ask yourself a question that you're debating in your own mind, and you list your criteria and what weight you put on each criteria, and then you rank each option for each criteria, and then it helps you quantify your likes and dislikes. And what is fun to use this for is to play around to see how, if you change your rankings or your criteria weighting slightly, to see how that changes the outcome. I think it doesn't answer a complex question for you, obviously, all by itself. That would be foolish. But what it does do for me is it helps me prioritize in my mind, clarify in my mind what are my priorities and how do I weight them and why. And what would the how would my decision be affected if I slightly changed my priorities? Because, you know, many times in making a difficult decision, part of the process is debating in my own mind how I do weight my priorities and making sure that I don't overlook certain criteria. So this is some little scripts that I wrote. Another fun script I wrote, which I think I call Ask Merlin, is I have various versions of it that basically they use the same weighted averaging algorithm, but they go out, they use the World Wide Web, the data on the web, to go out and do a little screen scraping. Actually, I replaced the screen scraping, I believe, finally with once Google came out with the Google API, I replaced the screen scraping with the Google API to go out and get data off the web. So it's a fun little simplistic type program. But probably spending too much time on that, probably there are many more useful things for the Azores, which are certainly available. The most important thing is that there's a very good Python distribution for the Azores, and I have a link to that. It was originally published by Riverbank Computing, and what was good was they published not only the core Python language, but many of the library modules, which are very useful. And I believe they may have taken their site down, because I've had a few people email me looking for some of those modules, and fortunately I have links to all of them, I believe, that they had available, so that they're still available, even if their site doesn't have them anymore. I don't think they're supported by Riverbank anymore. But you can, for instance, you can get the URL lib module, which I use in my Ask Merlin scripts, and many other tools like that, library modules like that, that are available. And all of my Python programs for the Azores are command line programs, and they run just fine because the Azores is a Linux-based device, and therefore you can run a terminal program, and that's how I run my Python programs. Now, I also experimented. I put a lot of effort into trying to make GUI versions of them, and I never succeeded to my satisfaction, although I hope to come back to that eventually. The way I ultimately tried to go and will go and I will go back to is to use Jython convert my Python programs to Jython scripts, which can call Java, Swing, GUI elements, simple forms and things, and user interactivity widgets, because the Python comes, the Azores comes preloaded with Java. So, interesting. So Python's Jython capability actually helps in that. The other thing, though, that some people have used, I have not, but I've read on the web, people using, it's also a PyQt-based, a little GUI that comes on the Azores. So there is a PyQt, I believe, available, although I have not used it, for the Azores. So if you know how to program using Qt, which I've never spent much time on, you can make GUIs using that for the Azores. So I think the Azores is a lot of fun. I think that covers most of what I've got links to at the current time for the Z, as I call it. The other things that I have a link to are some Pi Media programs. I think I mentioned that. And then also for the iRiver, and if you're not familiar, in the podcasting world, the iRiver is one of the Cadillac devices. It's a step up from the iPod. I don't own one, but it runs, it has much better sound quality, especially for recording. So if you want to record a mobile podcast, iRiver is far superior to the iPod, which has crappy sound input capabilities. And there are three programs I have links to for the iRiver. So the, you know, Python is available, and also there's a script called Marduk, which is designed to take advantage of the iRiver's database browsing capabilities. And then there is a PyGTK driver for the iRiver called Griver, and I guess that would mean that you could make Python GUI-based programs for the iRiver. And another database-related program, iridvb.py. So never used. It's a random walking for databases. Now, again, I haven't used the iRiver, but it certainly looks like it supports Python. And so this is a beginning. I hope to add more and more devices to this website with links to Python tools and more interesting tools for these existing devices that are already supported quite well. But, you know, hopefully people will write more and more mini applications for these devices using Python. And we can help to fulfill the dream, or at least the wish or the goal that Guido von Rossum articulated in a magazine interview. It was either Linux Journal or Linux Magazine two or three years ago that I read that made an impression on me. So I think that the future belongs to mobile computing devices to some extent, and I believe that Python is the perfect language for programming on these. For the time being, my own activities will be focused on the Zorus, although again, I hope to soon get either a Nokia Series 60 or some other Python-enabled phone. Which, because right now I carry the Z, which is the Zorus, I carry a cell phone, and I carry a BlackBerry in my corporate life. And I don't know how to get, I guess sometimes I leave the Zorus behind because it's really become simply a hobbyist tool for me for my Python scripts. I don't use it for business functions because I use the BlackBerry to interface with our corporate email. And I don't know that the BlackBerry has any Python capabilities at this time. But I use that, and then I use a separate cell phone, which is not Python-enabled either. So I'd like to combine all of these into one device to carry with me in my new situation. So as you can see, there's really a lot you can do with Python for mobile devices, and I do think it will expand, and I'll be reporting on that as time goes on. Now, in the future of this podcast series, I'll move on to other Pythonic topics. There's always interesting news in the Python world, which I follow assiduously. So, I'm obsessed with it as a hobby, and I read all the news about it. I even have Hans Nowak, a long time ago, wrote me a script for me at my suggestion that helped sort of aggregate Python news from around all the computer-related websites. And of course, it's outmoded now because we have much better RSS-enabled aggregators. So, and I track several of those, and I'll report on news as it develops. Again, I'm not an expert programmer. I wish I were, so I don't want to mislead anyone. But from a hobbyist point of view, I'm excited about Python. I'm motivated by it. I will report on the news, and I will continue to report on specific topics where I think I can add some value for people learning Python and point them in the right direction. And this podcast series really goes along with my website, Python Learning Foundation, I call it. The story behind that, I got to tell you, I know that name, Python Learning Foundation, sounds very ostentatious, and I apologize for that. I originally called the Python site the Python Liberation Front, which, you know, in going along with the Monty Python theme, I got a kick out of that. But then, with so much going on in the world, and especially in the Middle East, I finally came to this conclusion in my own mind that maybe that was not in the best taste. So since the PLF initials were my home page for that, I tried to come up with something that still used PLF that wouldn't offend anyone. And I came up with Python Learning Foundation. So the Python Learning Foundation is really just me. And again, I'm not an expert, but I think that there are a lot of learning tools on there because I've spent a lot of time learning. I've read, you know, one of the ways I learned was by reading a lot of Python books. And so I wrote book reviews on every one I read. And so those book reviews are on there, and then I have the tutorial page, which is the most popular page on the site, which really lists now over, I built that over 5 years, and it lists over 200, probably well over 200 now, tutorials on various subjects, and I have them categorized into many different categories. So should help you to find a tutorial on any topic you may be looking for. Now, you can find those on Google for yourself, of course, but this is a way I like to go there and just browse, looking for new topics that might be of interest to me. And I think that is of some use. Certainly, a lot of people do use it for that purpose. I will certainly be talking about other specific topics. I talked about GUIs, which, again, is of interest. You can go back and listen to that. So the best way to do this, you can just come to awaretech.com/Python and see what's new. But the best way is to subscribe. Now, on my AwareTech series, almost everybody does subscribe. But I realize that some of you from the Python world may not have subscribed to a podcast before, so it's very simple. On my Python page, there's something called RSS. So I'll have a link there that just says RSS. Click here. So if you click on my RSS page, which is just an index.xml file, click on that, and then, excuse me, I knocked my microphone. Click on that, and then copy the URL from your browser, and just paste that into any aggregator, into any podcast aggregator or RSS aggregator. Now, for instance, iTunes, which runs on Windows now, or the Mac, iTunes version 4.9 includes an integrated podcatcher, or iPodder. Go to iPodder.org, iPodder.org, and you can download iPodder. There's a free version and a more expensive version, but the free version works fine, and you can just automatically subscribe. And it's worth doing. If you haven't done it, believe me, there's a lot more valuable and interesting podcasts out there than just this little podcast. And you can find a lot of good technical podcasts, a lot of good entertaining podcasts, and I think it absolutely is worth doing. And by all means, if you own an MP3 player, I have a commute of an hour each way every day to work, and what an efficient use of my time compared to listening to the radio, because I can get anything I want, whether entertainment or information or intellectual, computer-related, programming-related, and listen to it at my convenience, what I want to listen to. And there are thousands of these podcasts out there, and some of them are of great quality, and there's more all the time. So I do suggest you learn to subscribe. Maybe you already know, all of you. So at any rate, if you have any questions, leave me an email, or there's a discussion forum on my website where you can leave questions or comments, and I would appreciate that very much. I would appreciate any feedback on this podcast series. Also, if you get the chance, you might want to listen to my other podcast series, the AwareTech podcast series. It's not about Python. It's a very eclectic, diverse thing, more to do with philosophy. But it is a lot about the future, my predictions for the future, my thoughts about the future, and how we will adapt to the rapid technological and scientific advances of our time. So I would recommend, certainly love to have you subscribe to that, or just check it out also. It's on the same website, www.aware.com.